Last summer, we saw rallies in support of racial justice in small towns across Western North Carolina that echoed the larger protests across the country. Now, these rallies were peaceful, but there were very large turnout in Western North Carolina. And Taylor Allen, who's here with me today, she helped organize the rally in Murphy. Hi, Taylor. Thanks for being with me.
Hi, thank you so much for having me today.
Thanks so much. So it feels like forever ago when we were in Murphy at the rally in June in 2020. Let's go back a little bit and, talk a little bit about what happened there. I remember talking with you and your friends that you had just put together a private Facebook group and you hoped, maybe you could get 10 people to come out and support, and then kind of overnight that group became about 600 people in just a few days, and then ultimately about 300 people came to the demonstration. What did it feel like to get that kind of community support at that time last summer?
So it was obviously great. As you said, my friends and I, we made the decision to hold signs and go stand on the corners in downtown Murphy. So we made the Facebook group, and I think each of us had like a plus two added that we wanted to join. But overnight, more people began inviting their friends, and their friends invited their friends. So I'm pretty sure by the time that I went to bed, which was about midnight, we had about 25 members. And I woke up the next morning to pushing 300. So it took me by surprise, definitely. I began getting messages. People were sharing things and like tagging me in them. That's when all the hatefulness really spiked. So it was really crazy, but to actually see it come to fruition and to see how many people came without fear and just really owned their bravery and owned how they felt about the things going on in our nation. It was really inspiring to me to know that my small town community, who may not publicly voice their opinion on matters such as this, was willing to, stand behind such a monumental movement.
Is that how you guys identify as like Murphy's Black Lives Matter local group or?
I honestly, that's a really good question. I have no clue if that's how we actually identify as a group. As a group, I have no clue. That is such a good question. I just, where it started with me and my friends, it's just us and all of our, supporters and people who believe in us.
Yeah, and I know you guys aren't officially associated with BLM or anything. And so, can you tell people a little bit about Murphy and kind of about why you personally wanted to organize this event?
Yeah, definitely. So, I've been at Murphy minus 2 years all of my life. Personally, I've never been discriminated against or been at the tail end of racial if issues, which I'm very grateful for. But there have been instances with family members that have had, backhanded compliments or blatant racist things said to them. So I felt like although Murphy may not on the outside have an issue with racism itself, it's always good to have those uncomfortable conversations and to educate yourself on issues that you personally don't experience. Because me as a Black woman, I'll never understand, how it feels to be a Black man. Although we share the same skin tone, there's two standards that are faced by both of our communities. So that's really why I pushed for having the protest in Murphy, being that in the tri-state area, it is one of the larger towns. I knew that it would, be seen by more people. Not that there's an issue with having it elsewhere. I just, if we're going to do this for the first time, I felt like we needed to do it big. And so, yeah, I just felt like whether there's, blatant racism here or not, it's something that all families should be having a conversation with at home. And it should be something on the forefront of everyone's mind. So I'm 20. I'll be 21 in July. And I feel like no matter what your age is, you have felt the impact of what's happened, in sense of, police brutality, racial injustice, whether it's you've benefited or you've been extremely affected by it negatively. We've all felt the impact of it. And so just understanding that and not understanding it in a place of guilt or a place of, you know, malice intent, just simply acknowledging it and then figuring out what we can do moving forward. Because, you know, I could easily sit and be angry and be negative because of the things that have happened, or as presented in June, we can move forward and bring about talks of education, talks of, you know, betterment. What can we do to make the situation better? And I feel like as a community, that's what look we need to look at. The glass is half full, not half empty. And I think that's the most important thing, no matter what age you are, whether you're in elementary school to elderly, understanding how your actions and your subconscious stereotypes can play into things that are happening on a national and greater scale. And then unlearning those habits, because that's how they are, as habits. So that's the most important thing for me. And just it all starts with education and an open mind.
Yeah, and there was, you know, a big turnout for Murphy. There are not a lot of protests in Murphy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that was really, that was also interesting about the event that y'all had, and maybe was different from some of the other rallies in support of Black Lives Matter, is that the Cherokee County Sheriff actually spoke at the event. Walk me through the relationship that y'all had with the sheriff in planning the event, and kind of how that partnership came together.
Yeah, definitely. So my dad actually used to work for the detention center here in Cherokee County. So Sheriff Palmer has always had a relationship with myself personally and our family, being that his son and I grew up in very close age together. So I've always had that relationship, I would say, with him, where I felt like if I saw him in public, obviously I'm going to speak. He'll ask me how I'm doing, how school's going. So I wasn't really, it was no second question for me to immediately ask for his guidance when things went from 25 to 300. So I was able to go up to his office and have a sit down conversation with him. And basically they helped me walk through what was needed to propose the event to chief of police and our town mayor, and the proper, you know, files, paperwork, and everything that I needed to fill out. And we had conversations of, you know, or I asked him what I can do to ease tensions between the crowd and police officers. So being that we both love our town, we had conversations to make sure that those that attended understood that this is nothing but peaceful, and that that would not be tolerated, that we're not here to burn, to pillage, to destroy. We're here to speak of light and of love and of justice. So that was a big conversation that we had the first day moving forward. And I feel like every day leading up until the protest, I was in the police department or at the detention center having those conversations, or was constantly on phone calls with them, or texting back and forth. Like, I was at work and I'd be checking my phone, texting them back about minor details and things that we could do to make it more efficient and make it work better. They brought us water. They brought, they helped us unload trucks full of food for everyone. They helped bring out chairs for people who may have needed to sit down from, you know, various disabilities or from age. And so it was a really working relationship. And I feel like that also aided in easing tensions with not only between the attendees and the police, but the community as a whole. So it was very beneficial. And I'm completely like happy that that happened. And I'm very grateful for Sheriff Palmer actually speaking on the subject and really just tying in the fact that we're not here to, you know, bash our police officers, and we're not here to destroy the town. We're just simply here to make sure that everyone is hearing this message and everyone understands why it's important to talk about it.
And looking back through, you know, kind of how the program went, there was a moment of silence, and much longer than a moment, the full 8 minutes and 48 seconds that the police officer, Derek Chauvin, held his knee on George Floyd's neck. And now during, you know, the trial that we have all been watching and have now found out that Chauvin has been found guilty on all three charges, you know, it came out during the trial that it was actually longer than that.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me a little bit about your feelings waiting for the verdict in the trial, watching that trial as someone who, you know, was this closely involved in organizing around George Floyd's death?
Of course. So my feelings personally is no amount of justice that can be served to Derek Chauvin will be enough for his life, for the grievement of his family, for the turmoil, for the tipping stone that our nation and internationally felt from his death. Although, don't let me take away from the fact that I'm very happy that he has been brought to justice and will serve his time for taking this man's life. I just feel personally that nothing will ever bring a daughter's father home. And it's a sad reality. So I'm very grateful for the verdict, and I'm very happy that our nation and our judges and our, you know, prosecutors and lawyers were willing to step into this and take it on and say that enough is enough. Because as much as we as the people can say enough is enough, it really takes those that are in charge of our laws, who are in charge of actually serving justice, to see this as something beneficial and as something worth, you know, exalting energy towards. So I'm very grateful. I just wish from moving forward, we can continue seeing this as a trend rather than acquittals and seeing officers just left alone and not brought to the limelight for justice. And I'll always say, personally, I feel like where we went wrong as a nation was allowing George Zimmerman to walk free in the Trayvon Martin case. I will always say that, because it set the momentum, in my opinion. It allowed for us to become dormant and content with simplicity and no justice and seeing violence to people of color and it being justified by the smallest of meaning and taking away the true definition of a person's life. So to me, it's a step in the right direction. I'm hoping that from here we can see Breonna Taylor's killers being brought to justice. I'm hoping that Sandra Bland's case is looked into further, that we can, you know, right the wrongs that we have seen happen and moving forward have eliminate the fear that Black people have with the police officers and eliminate the fear that they have in society as an entirety.
Yeah. And so where do we go from here? I know you're home for the summer from the University of Tennessee. What are we doing?
The town hall is in the works. Now that I'm free of finals, I can really sit down and, you know, schedule a time to do that. I have a very high ranking, I would say, office within my sorority. It's a historically Black founded sorority, Sigma Gamma Rho Sorority Incorporated. And I serve as the highest ranked undergraduate member. So it's a very time consuming office that I wouldn't trade for anything in the world. But so I'm really taking the summer to just work, dropping those seeds of encouragement for others in this community. Because personally, I don't see myself being in Murphy forever, but I don't want to leave without knowing that, you know, our community understands that when it's time to stand up, we have to stand up with no fear and just face the issue head on.
Well, I think that's pretty much all the questions that I had. Is there anything else you want to bring up and kind of share with people?
I will say, if anyone is interested, Murphy Black Lives Matter page on Facebook is still open, but please join. That's where all updates about the town hall and any further events will first be posted.
I'm Lily Knepp with Blue Ridge Public Radio. Thanks so much for being with me today, Taylor.
Thank you so much for having me and allowing me to speak today.